truly a blessing to be in God's house, and just awesome, awesome, awesome morning, awesome weekend all the way around. With all that God did today or this week, I didn't know how to feel. A part of me was exhausted, the other part of me was exhilarated, and it's still going on, so we give God the glory for it all. We have a really special guest to share with us God's word. We met Tanya about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, I think, at UB and Vicky's home. And ever since then, we've gotten to know her, a wonderful woman of God. She has been in the ministry for over 30 years. She has been an ambassador for healing and just a very powerful, loving, spirit-filled woman of God. And after she brings us the word this morning, she in the back, you might have noticed there's some books and CDs, and both of them together are for $10, so they'll be available. You can see one of our ushers. They're going to be her cashier this morning for that afterwards. But Minister Tanya, would you come and share God's word? And we thank you for being here.
Hallelujah. Well, let's just give God a big hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. It's an honor to stand before you. Let me pray first. Father, we just give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory because you alone are worthy, Father. Father, I thank you that you would touch my lips with coals from the altar, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that whatever comes out of my mouth will be thus saith the Lord. And Father, I thank you without you, we can do nothing. So we thank you that you're already present in this place, God, and we ask that you would continue to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an honor to stand before you. Hallelujah. Like Pastor Michael had said that we met at the Sins house, and it's been, I just hooked up with Miss Tiffany, Sister Tiffany, Pastor's wife, and it's been such a blessing, such a wonderful time every time we've been together, a fellowship, and it always ends up with praise and worship. So I just thank the Lord for them. Amen. I do want to share one of the poems before I begin to speak. The Lord gave me this poetry book throughout the years. Most of the poems was for other people, but then some of the poems was for me. Like if you was going through something, then the Lord will lay a poem on my heart. So this one is called, and I think it's good for what we're about to speak about briefly. It's called, Sometimes Words Are Not Enough. Sometimes words are not enough when things are getting tough. Sometimes it's hard to lift up your hands when life brings so many demands. Sometimes it's hard to know what to say when nothing seems to go the right way. When the pain goes so deep and healing seems out of reach. Sometimes we wonder, how can we stand? There's nothing left inside. What can I do but abide? For I remember in times past when I thought I wasn't going to last. Then the Spirit lifted me to a place of victory. It was there I was set free from all the chains that tried to bind me. Oh, come thou with me with healing in thy wings. Oh, balm of Gilead, how I long to be with thee. How I long to be with thee. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more external weight of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The text will be taken from John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Amen. Have your way, Holy Spirit. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, right? Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, come into the house of the Lord. It's hot, but it's still good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. John 5, I'm going to start reading. Later on, there was a Jewish festival feast for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the Sheep Gate. The pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches, alcoves, colonnades, and doorways. And these lay a great number of sick folk, some blind, some crippled, and some paralyzed, shriveled up. This is the Amplified. Awaiting for the bubbling up of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at appointed seasons into the pool and moved and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was cured of whatever disease which he was afflicted. There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Are you really in earnest about getting well?" In other words, do you want to become well? Amen. And the title of this is, Will You Be Made Whole? Will you be made whole? So I'm just going to tell my story a little bit. I didn't want to tell my story, but you know what? You have to, God desires the truth in the inwards parts. And we're not here playing games. So in order for you to know where I came from, to know that we're all striving for the gospel. Amen. So, you know, about a year and a half ago, the Lord called me, first of all, when I was a young child. I was preaching since I was 12 in the back of the projects in the Bronx. Amen. When I gave my life to the Lord. But I've been through a lot of things, a lot of pains, a lot of hurts. And, you know, I went through a major, major, major trial, different trials, just a continuous fire. And you know, I was still preaching, doing things in the church, doing this and doing that. And I said, well, now I'm going to launch forth my ministry. You hear that? Now I'm going to launch forth my ministry. It's time now. It's time. But the Holy Spirit set me down one day in my private time and said, will you, Tanya, not the people you're preaching to, not the people you're going over there ministering to. Those, that's good. But will Tanya, will you be made whole? You see, because there was issues in my life that I dealt with as a little girl that I was traumatized with, that I never allowed the Lord to bring me through a time of healing and making me whole. It was one trauma to the next. So I thought I was launching forth with my ministry, and God launched me right into the seat and said, sit down and be made whole. Amen. That was my launch. He launched me and said, sit yourself down and be made whole. Okay, I'm just real, so I don't know if you're used to like preaching, like, but I'm real. Sit yourself down and be made whole. And I went through a series of counseling for about, I have a background as a school psychologist, but your title don't deliver you. I don't care what you are. Your title cannot deliver you. I've tested over 3,584 children. Okay, there's my colleague over there. And let me tell you something. When it comes to healing, you have to sit at the feet of Jesus. Your title cannot heal you. I just want to just throw that in. So the Lord set me down, and I'm just about getting up now. It's been a couple of years that he set me down with all the scriptures I knew, with all the things. If you had a problem, oh, I know how to minister to you. But when it came to my life, it was like, oh, my God, but will it work for me? Okay, that's being real. Okay, so Jeremiah 18:4 says, and the vessel, this is my life, that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Amen. Verse 2. Now there in Jerusalem, a pool near the sheep gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches. Now, the name of the pool is said to be derived from the Hebrew language and or Aramaic language. Bethesda meaning house of mercy or house of grace. Okay? In both the Hebrew, house of mercy, house of grace, or it also means house of shame and house of disgrace. What? How can one place have such an opposite meaning? House of mercy, house of grace. That's the house we want to be in, right? House of mercy, house of grace. The next one is house of shame and house of disgrace. Amen? The house of mercy, house of grace is two opposites. So we're just going to go over a couple of definitions, not long. Mercy is the compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who is within one power to punish or harm. That's when you receive mercy. Grace, we know what grace is, right? God's unmerited favor is nothing that you can do to work for grace. It's the grace of God. It's nothing that you can do to merit grace. I go to church every day. I'm cleaning the house. No. Grace is his unmerited favor. It is kindness from God we don't deserve. There is nothing that we have done or never to do to earn his favor. It's a gift from God. Grace is divine assistance given to humans for their rebirth or sanctification. A virtue coming from God, a state of sanctification and joy through divine favor. Shame, a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. I love that. I love the Webster. I don't know if Webster was saved or not, but some of those definitions, foolish behavior, amen, can be caused by something done to you or someone shaming you. Disgrace is the loss of respect, honor, or esteem, dishonor, or reproach. The dual meaning may have been thought appropriate since the location Bethesda was seen as a place of disgrace due to the presence of invalids. There was invalids there, and a place of grace due to the granting of healing. Amen. So you know that in your worst situation, you will find mercy and grace. Amen. In your worst situation, you will find mercy and grace. Mercy to cover your shame and grace to cover your disgrace. Amen. Mercy covers your shame and the grace of God covers your disgrace. Amen. Verse 3 says, "And this lay a great number of sick folk, some blind, some crippled, and some paralyzed, shriveled up, awaiting for the bubbling of the water." Imagine that. The hope of healing was right there in front of you. But some are blind. It's right there, but I can't see it. I'm blind. The healing is right there, but I'm blind. I can't see it. I can't see my way around it. Amen. Some was crippled. I can see the healing is right there, but I'm crippled. I can't get to it. Amen. There's always obstacles in our lives. Amen. Some were crippled. This is something in the spirit. I'm crippled. I can't get to it. Some was paralyzed. And that represents the spirit of fear, because fear paralyzes you. It immobilizes you. You can't move when you're paralyzed. I see it. I can hear it. I see my deliverance. I can hear my deliverance, but fear has paralyzed me and I'm unable to move or act because I'm all shriveled up. Amen. I'm talking about things in the spirit now. I'm all shriveled up. I've been waiting for this healing. I've been believing God that he can get me through these traumatic situations, but I'm blind. I can't see it. Some things is hindering me from hearing the word. I can't move towards it. Something, there's a blockage there. Amen. Anybody ever felt a blockage in their life? Amen. A stronghold is what I'm talking about. On the outside, you may look good. We all look good in here, even though we're hot. We're looking good. Amen. On the outside, my twin sister, you may look good. All may seem well to others. I'm serving. I'm doing this. I'm going to work every day. I'm taking care of the kids. I'm cooking the food. I'm taking care of my husband. I'm taking care of my wife. I pay my tithes. The church doors are open. I'm there. Everything looks good on the outside. How you doing? Praise the Lord. How you feeling? Oh, the Lord is good. Those things are true, and those things are good. But amen, sometimes we wear a mask of what's really going on in the inside, because sometimes we're fearful to tell other people. Amen. Because what would they think about us? You see, sometimes there are things that only you and God know that you've been through. And you say, if I can only get delivered from this one thing, my hair will blow in the breeze. I would just be another person if I can get delivered from this one thing. On the inside, you could be shriveled up with hurts. And that's what the Lord is, I'm believing, that he's here to address those inner things, those things that you don't even talk about, those things that you cry on your pillow at night. Amen. Amen. One man, the man who could not make his way into the pool. The man was there. He was there for 38 years. He couldn't make his way to the pool. You know, sometimes we need help from other people. Amen. Let's just tell the truth. Amen. Sometimes we do need help. I'm talking about devastating things. Verse 5 says the man had a deep-seated lingering disorder. I'm not talking about your toe. If you stub it, God is concerned about that. But there are some of us that has been through things for years and years. It's deep-seated. It helped to make the person who we are, whether that person is a serving person or a good person or whatever. These are deep-seated lingering disorder. A deep-seated means existing for a long time and very difficult to change, firmly established. Could you imagine that? A disorder that's firmly established. I want to be firmly established in the word. I don't want a disorder in my life that's firmly established. established in my life, situated far below the surface of what you can see on the outside. Lingering means lasting for a long time or slow to end. And disorder is confusion, an ailment that affects the function of your mind and body. It could have been something that happened to you. You know, whatever happens to you, we're triune beings. It affects our body, our soul, and our spirit. But amen. I'm going to get to the hope. Hallelujah. But I got to touch on that because a lot of times we don't talk about those things in church. You know, I'm not saying that you guys don't, but a lot of people are hurt and are sitting in the pews and don't know how to get the help or don't know how to get the deliverance. But thank God there is a deliverer. Verse 4 says, "For the angel of the Lord went down at an appointed season in the pool." Appointed season. When is the time for healing? Now, hallelujah, this is the appointed season for healing, amen. Psalms 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, he curing their pains and their sorrow." You see, this is why Jesus came, right? Isaiah 61, I'm always in the word when I'm preaching, so. Isaiah 61:2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me, qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and the afflicted. He had sent me to bind up." That means bandage up the wound. But you know, sometimes the wound has to be cleaned out before you bandage it up. If you have an infection and you just put a Band-Aid on that wound, that infection will start spreading out through that Band-Aid. So the wound has to be clean, and that's done by the blood of Jesus, by the Spirit of God. He comes in and he cleans those areas. He cleans that wound, and then he's able to bind it up. Amen. He heals the broken hearted. He sets the captives free. He comforts all them that mourn. Praise the Lord. That's a good word, right? That's the word. He comforts us that mourn. Verse 6, "When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he already had been there a long time in that condition, Jesus said to him, 'Do you want to become well?'" Now that seems like a strange question, right? I mean, first of all, he's God. God in the flesh. Why would he ask the man, "Do you want to become well?" That question just bothered me. Why would Christ, this King of Kings who came to set the captives free, ask someone, "Do you want to become well?" It's a strange question. You see, he knows he's been lying there helpless in that condition for a long time. You see, some people are comfortable in their hurts. Some people are comfortable with their hurts. They wear it. This sounds strange. Some people are comfortable in their hurts. They wear it like a badge. They dwell in self-pity because some people feel, if I don't have my hurts, what do I have? If I don't have this hurt, I'm known for this hurt. I'm known in the neighborhood. Everybody knows I've been suffering. This is my hurt. You understand? I'm not laughing at it. But you know what? There are people like that that are known for their infirmity or their hurts. Amen? And they want to hold on to it. And when you hold on to that hurt, what happens is that a root of bitterness starts to spring up. It starts to foul in you. And you wonder why you're snapping at people. All I ask is, you have a pen. Well, get your own pen. You're always asking me for a pen. You're snapping at people. You're doing strange things. You're mowing your lawn as soon as church starts. You're doing strange things. You understand? Because sometimes there's a root of bitterness that's springing up inside of you, and you don't even know it's there sometimes. But other people know it. Other people know, especially your close family members. But I'm talking to those who don't want to be a victim anymore. Raise your hand if you don't want to be a victim anymore. Hallelujah. For those who believe that whom the Son has made free is free indeed. For those who believe in the power of the blood that can wash, that can heal, that can cleanse, that by your stripes you already been made whole. This is who this message is for. For those who want to be set free from the hands of the enemy, from all those chains that have tried to bind you from years and years, from the thing that you think that you can never get delivered of. God is here and he's the deliverer. Amen. So verse 8 says, Jesus said to him, what did Jesus say to him? Get up. That's the first thing he said. Get up, pick up your bed and walk. Instantly the man became well. He recovered his strength. He picked up his bed and he walked. You see, sometimes we just need to recover our strength. Amen. Sometimes we just need to recover our strength. And the proof of spiritual cure is our rising and walking. Sometimes we have to step out of the boat in faith. Well, I still feel sick. Well, that thing is still bothering me. Sometimes you have to take a step of faith because he said, get up. Rise up and walk. Amen. And that's the word of the Lord for us today. To get up in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. But sometimes we don't feel the strength until we take the action first. Amen. Because faith is an action word. We have to step out on it. Well, you told me to get up, but I'm crippled. Just try to get up. Amen. And God has sent someone to your side. And that person, the Holy Spirit, is the paraclete. He's the one that's called alongside of us. He's our strength. He's our help. And when we feel that we cannot get up in our own strength, the strength of God overpowers us. And we're able to stand on that, what he's asking us to do. It's too hard what you're asking me to do. That's what I told my father. How can I forgive that person? Person who did that to me. That's what I told Jesus. It hurts too much. In fact, I'm a little comfortable with these hurts because I'm known for this hurt. Okay? And it hurts too much. If you take it away, what will I have? He said, but if you give it to me, I will give you joy. I will give you peace. I will give you a praise that will rise up from the inside. I will give you a song. I will give you a song in the midnight hour. He says, I will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He'll exchange it. He'll exchange it with joy. He'll exchange it with deliverance. He'll exchange it for a new beginning. He'll exchange it that you can look that person in the face, even if it's in your right, in your family, and say, I forgive you because the love of God has captured me. I'm able to forgive you. So don't hold on to what you think that God can't deliver you from, because he's waiting to give you his peace. Amen. Everything is an action word. He said, put on the garment of praise. That's something we have to pick it up. I have to pick up praise sometimes when I don't feel like praising the Lord. I have to pick up praise sometimes when the enemy is always up in my face. I have to pick up praise sometimes when those memories of what happened to me tries to haunt me and tries to say, you're not delivered. You're always going to be the same. You're going to mount up to be nothing. I have to pick up praise and say that the Lord is my God. He's my help in the time of trouble. God is a refuge and a strength in the time of trouble. I run into the name of Jesus. He's my fortress and he's my strong tower. And the righteous run in and they are saved. I run into his righteousness. I run into his covering because I'm not who I used to be. Hallelujah. I'm not what I should be all the way, but I'm not what I used to be. Because if you knew who I used to be, you wouldn't even pass this mic to me. But I thank God that he doesn't look at my past and judge me to where I'm going. But he looks at my past and says, oh yeah, she's been through that. But I'm going to heal her. I'm going to deliver him. I'm going to set him up on a rock. I'm going to set her up on a rock so that she can be an ambassador of healing. I didn't want that title. I wanted to be a praiser. I am a praiser. The pastor asked me this morning, what should I say about you? I said, I don't really know. I said, he said, what's your title? I said, Crushed Olive. I said, oh yeah, no, I'm a minister, I think. I said, Crushed Olive. That's what I said to him. And he said, so what should I say about you? I said, Ambassador of Healer. He was like, that's good. I said, the Lord just told me that last night. You see, he don't care about my title. He just cares that I'm walking in the newness of him, that I'm a healed, filled vessel, ministering the word of the Lord, saying that if he's done it for me, for someone like me, there's no way that he won't do it for you. I'm telling you, only the people from my block in my neighborhood would be like, you saved? Oh my God. Tanya saved? Where's the altar? Because if God changed her life and I knew who she was, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Hallelujah. So do you want to be made whole? Amen. I'm almost closing. I'm not one of those preachers that said I'm almost closing in 20 more minutes. No, I'm almost closing. Verse 14 says, after Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing happens to you. You see, some things we have caused ourselves. Let's get it real. Some things that has happened to us, we did it. Some things we are the blame, amen? But some things we were victims. But either way, this is the mercy of God, the house of mercy and grace. Either way, whether we was the victim or whether we did it ourselves, God makes us whole. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you did it yourself. If you're there before the Lord and you're asking for true forgiveness, God will make you whole. That's good news, because there's some things that I've been through for years that I did. I chose to do it. Amen. But there's some things that was done to me that I did not choose to happen to me. But either way, the house of mercy, the house of shame, God covers it all. And he covers it all with his blood. The blood covers it all. And when he sees you, he doesn't see your shame. He doesn't see your disgrace, but he sees the blood. And when he sees the blood, he said, I will pass over your iniquity. So I thank God for the blood. It's only because of the blood that I'm standing here right now. It's just because of the blood and my faith in the blood, amen, and my obedience to the Father to sit myself down. Yes, you have an identical memory. Yes, you know the scriptures by heart. Yes, you can look at a paragraph and just say the whole thing. But guess what? Until you allow the Lord to deliver you, and sometimes that comes from counseling from the outside, going to sit before someone, honey, I'm a hard person to counsel too. Ask this one over here. Because you have to get past my intellect. I think I know so much. My grandmother used to say, what you don't know could build a whole new world. What you don't know can build a whole new world. But you have to get past, why is she using that? I'm a psychologist. I wouldn't use that on the person. You sick. Sit yourself down, sickness. Okay? Stop talking to people like you know so much. If you knew it, you wouldn't be here. You would be delivered, you would be healed, and you would be walking in your healing. So guess what? The first 3 months was that you don't know nothing. The greatest deliverance I had in the last couple of months is that I don't know nothing. The second greatest deliverance I had was that I am not the Savior. And that set me free, because I've been trying to save my family since I was 12. I can't save them. I can't heal them. I can't deliver them. I can't save myself. I can't heal myself. I can't deliver myself. So those are two. I just want to just throw that in as a sidebar. Those are great deliverances. He made me whole in my mind too. You see, because it begins here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Some things we caused ourselves. Other things we were victims. You see, first of all, he said, rise up. Now, Jesus knew it was the Sabbath. Why will he tell this man to pick up your mat and start to walk on the Sabbath? That's breaking the law. You're not supposed to do any kind of work on the Sabbath. The Jews was upset. They forgot that he was cured by breaking the, they knew he was cured by breaking the, they forgot that he was cured, but that all they was concerned about that he was breaking the law. But they didn't know who was in front of him. You see, because he's the fulfillment of the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. The Sabbath was standing in front of him. But he had a message to them. And you know what? Everyone is not going to be happy when you're made whole. Everyone is not going to be happy that you've been made whole. Some people like you like that. I can hear them now. I can hear the people at the pool now. Who does he think he is? Look at him. I remember when. That healing ain't gonna last. Why didn't he pick me? Oh, he thinks he's all this now because Jesus healed him. He'll be back. She'll be back. You know, some people are not happy because you got your deliverance, because they had a stronghold over you. They like you like that. They like you in your self-pity. But thank God, God doesn't ask another person for their opinion. Should I deliver my daughter? Should I deliver my son or not? But whom the Son has made free is free indeed. And those are the people that don't like you like that, that you have to pick up your mat and walk right past in front of them and walk right into your destiny and walk right into the call that God has had for you, because he set you free for a reason. He set you free to be a testimony of his healing power. He set you free to let you know that even if you was the last person on the earth, and that's what Jesus said to me, Tanya, guess what? I love you. I love you, Tanya. I love the people you preach to, but guess what? He's a personal God. And he said, I love you. What does it matter if you preach to 1,000 people, they all get saved? That's a blessing. But if you're in bondage, if you don't know your Savior, if you're crippled, if you're blind, if you can't see, I love you. And that's what the Lord says to each and every one of us. I love you. You can put your name there. I love you, Jessica. I love you, Patricia. I love you, Michael. I love you, Tiffany. I love you, Paul. all. I love you. It's as though you were the only person on the earth. So the Lord, in closing, and I am, says, will you be made whole? That's the question that he's leaving to us. We know his answer. He's here to make us whole. Amen. Body, soul, and spirit. And even now, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I speak in the spiritual realm. And I say, get up in the name of Jesus. Pick up your bed by the power of the Holy Spirit and be made whole in the newness of Christ. Amen. I am going to have an altar call. Hallelujah. For those people that have been struggling with things, deep-seated, lingering things, and you thought that this is it. Maybe I have to live with this for the rest of my life. But the Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here to set the captives free, to make you whole body, soul, and spirit. Amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So after Sister Vicky sings this song, I'm going to do an altar call. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy to be praised.
It's the Father's love, the Father's heart.